Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. Recovery. You know, I have learned, y'all, in this life that your recovery is often a very difficult and challenging process. Sometimes, y'all, this life, it can hurt us so badly that it actually hurts to hurt. There can be times, y'all, when the wound is so deep, we wonder, y'all, if healing is even possible. In the movie Minority Report, John Anderton, who was played by Tom Cruise, y'all, he is with his wife and a young girl named Agatha. Now, y'all, John and Laura, his wife, several years before, y'all, they had lost their six-year-old son, Sean, who had been kidnapped and murdered. Y'all, in this scene, Agatha, y'all, who is a type of seer, y'all, she recounts what little Sean's life would have been like had he lived. And in doing so, she reopened wounds of loss, grief, and emotional pain. Y'all, what is it in this life, y'all, that has hurt you deeply? Was it the loss of a loved one? The pain of a failure? The shame of a sin? The hurt from another? Y'all, this evening, y'all, more than anything else, y'all, I want you to know that your God, he loves and he hurts with you. Y'all, he wants to help you deal with all of your pain. Your God, he wants to aid you in handling whatever is hurting your heart today. In other words, y'all, as David, the author of the 23rd number of Psalms, says, y'all, he wants to restore your soul. Now, y'all, David, he knew the need for the Lord to be his restorer. But see, y'all, David, he had times in his life where he hurt too. He had tasted disappointment in being hurt by others. He felt defeat when he seriously sinned. He knew the despair of losing a loved one, his own child. And maybe, we haven't experienced a deep hurt yet, but the odds are we will. And, we can all learn from what David writes here. You see, when he allowed the Lord, to restore him, then, his life was completely transformed for the better. And, of course, the great news is that, that same restoration, is promised to us today. And because of this, let us accept as a title of our message this evening, "The Lord is My Shepherd." Once again, the title of our message this evening is, "The Lord is My Shepherd." Now, y'all, of course, our passage will be coming from Psalms 23, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." Here we find the principle of restoration. But let's first understand the principle of restoration. When David writes, "He restores my soul," he writes from a shepherd's perspective, for that's what he was. Anytime we study the Word of God, it helps y'all to be able to understand the words, y'all, in the context of the writer's viewpoint. The Hebrew word for restore, it literally means to return to a right place. It has the connotation of rescuing or renewing. David is making a point here that God, he wants to return our lives, our emotions, our relationships, our hearts, our minds to a right place. Because the word soul here is referring, to our inner being, our hearts. It's saying, that God, he will return our deepest selves to a right place with him if we'll allow him to do so. So, David, he certainly understood that from a shepherd's perspective, because he understood the work of a shepherd. You see, sometimes your restoration was needed because, a sheep, they would become what is called cast down. Your author, Philip, he writes, "A cast down sheep is a very pathetic sight. Lying on its back, its feet in the air, it flays away frantically, struggling to get up without success. It will bleat out for help in fright and frustration. If the shepherd does not arrive on the scene within a reasonable short time, the sheep will die. This is why it is so essential for a shepherd to look over his flock every day, making sure that they are all on their feet. If even one is missing, the first thought to flash into the shepherd's mind is one of my sheep cast down somewhere? I must go in search of it and set it on its feet again. But y'all, it is not only y'all the cast down sheep that needs restoring, but also y'all the constantly wandering sheep. You see, oftentimes y'all, when a shepherd took his flock out to graze, that often y'all one sheep, well, he would become interested y'all in a turf of grass over here, then another over there, and then another. And before it realizes anything, y'all, the sheep has wandered away from the flock. Well, the shepherd that night, he counts the sheep when he comes into the fold. 96, 97, 98, 99. And he discovers, y'all, that one is missing. And so y'all, leaving his flock in the care of a trusted friend, he moves out into the darkness. As he walks, he calls out and he listens for the cry of the sheep. Finally, out in the darkness, he hears the bleating of the lost one. He goes to it. He picks it up and put it on his shoulder. He brings it back to the fold. Now, occasionally, y'all, a shepherd, he'll have one sheep, y'all, that night after night. I mean, when he counts them, 97, 98, 99. Y'all, that same one has wandered away again. Y'all, if it was back in the day, I suspect, y'all, that sheep name, it might be Charlie Womack. But y'all, night after night, y'all, the shepherd, he goes out, he finds the sheep, and then he gets it back home. And you know what he'll do sometimes? Y'all, he'll break that sheep leg. He'll put it in a splint. Now the next day, y'all, the sheep is helpless. I mean, it cannot walk. And so the shepherd, he'll pick the sheep up, and he'll carry it. Now after a while, y'all, of course, the sheep leg, it begins to heal. But by now, y'all, the sheep has learned a very valuable lesson. Or he has learned, y'all, to stay close to the shepherd's side. Sounds strange, don't it? Well, really, y'all, to me, it sounds cruel. I mean, think about it. To break the leg of a defenseless animal? I mean, it sounds heartless. That is, y'all, in case, unless you first have to come to know the shepherd. You see, y'all, when we discover, we'll realize, y'all, that what appears to seem like cruelty, which is on the surface, y'all, is really kindness. Because see, the sheep, y'all, it needs to learn, y'all, to stay close to the shepherd's side. Y'all, we have a way of doing that, don't we? I mean, y'all, we wander away from God again and again. And sometimes, y'all, in the Christian's life, y'all, God, he allows our legs to be broken. Now, y'all, God, he doesn't make it happen, y'all, to punish us in anger or drive us down or cripple us. But he allows it, y'all, to happen because from it, he knows we learn a valuable lesson. The safest place to be is close to the shepherd. You know, David, he understood that because he knew sheep and he also knew sinners well too. David, you know, he knew that there would be times that we would wander away. And he knew that, you know, if a sheep had to find its way back home, it wouldn't have a chance. You know, it's a known fact that your sheep, they have a very poor sense of direction. Now you take your dog out and you try to lose your dog, right? You know, you might end up waiting for that dog as soon as he gets to the house. Or you try to lose your cat and you throw the GPS out the window and just follow that cat home. But say you take a sheep away from the flock, you know, that sheep can get lost really, really easy. David, you know, he lost his direction. 2 Samuel, it tells us, you know, that one evening, you know, David, he saw this beautiful woman. She was taking a bath. Now, you know, David, he lusted for Bathsheba, and he lured her into the palace. He commits adultery with her. Now, to his dismay, y'all, the results of this adulterous act is pregnancy. What does he do? Instead of, y'all, just confessing his sin, y'all, David, he covers his sins. Well, the cover-up doesn't work. So David, y'all, he has her husband Uriah murdered. You know, it was sexual looseness of the worst kind. It was planned, premeditated murder. But your David, he was king. And I'm sure, he thought that his sin was hidden. But your book was a secret sin on earth. It was an open scandal in heaven. And so one day, God, he sent his prophet Nathan to confront David and to reveal, the fact that the shepherd, he knew that he had wandered away from the fold. And David's heart is broken. In Psalms 51, we find David pouring his confessions out to God, saying, "Have mercy upon me, O God. Purify me from my sin." But the great thing to realize here is that before David cried out to God, God was searching for him. And God, he does the same for us too. He will search for us until he finds us, so he can set us on our feet and restore us to the fold. But how does he do this? Well, let's look, at three main emotional hurts and how God, will restore us. First, we have to first observe the reality that I need God, to first remove my guilt. Nothing destroys a soul faster than guilt. David wrote in Psalms 38:4, "My guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear." All of us, like David, has fallen to temptation. We've deliberately rebelled and have wandered off. But our shepherd, he's not as concerned, with the circumstances of our sin as much as he is, with how we respond to our sins. How do we deal with the guilt in our life? There are a whole lot of options. The world, they have a whole lot of unworthy solutions. The world says, just deny it. Pretend it doesn't exist. We can bury the past. But unless our conscience is totally sheared, it doesn't work. The world says, you can compromise it by lowering your standards. If you feel guilty about something, you just say, I don't believe it's wrong anymore. In other words, I'll just change the rules. But compromise doesn't relieve guilt. The world says, rationalize your guilt. Rationalize equals rationalize. And when a believer's out of fellowship, it's not difficult, to rationalize. We do it oftentimes, by blaming other people. In other words, it's not my fault. It's my parents' fault. It's my teachers, my friends, or it's my pastor's fault. But in the end, we know that we're responsible for our own actions. So blaming other people, it doesn't help. Why? Well, because inside, we know there's something wrong. And that's why guilt makes us sick. I mean, to know that there's something wrong and we won't deal with it. Denying, compromising, or rationalizing don't work. There's only one solution to our guilt. We've got to trust God to remove it. He's the only one who can do it. In fact, he's already done it. The most basic truth of Christianity is that Jesus Christ has already paid for all of our sins. I mean, everything we've already committed. All of the sins, including the mistakes in our future, they've already been paid for. And all we need to do is, respond to Jesus in the way that he's asked us to. By our faith, we place our trust in him. Then once we, have a relationship with him, because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, we trust his word. And his word, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, and this word, if, that's a third class condition. In other words, it means maybe you will, maybe you won't. But he says, if you confess your sins, he is just and faithful to forgive our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. David said in Psalms 32:5, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So we're just to accept it. That's how our guilt will be removed. But what matters most is not what we've done, but what Jesus Christ has already done. How do we get forgiveness from God? We have faith, y'all, that he will do what he says, and then express that faith and do what he asks. But you know, oftentimes a believer will say, well, y'all, I've asked God to forgive me many times, and I still feel guilty. You know what that means? That means, y'all, sometimes, y'all, we misunderstand the way God forgives. Y'all, when God forgives, y'all, it's immediate. It's unconditional. Is free and complete the first time we ask. You'll listen to the words of God. He said, I will forgive their wrongdoings, and I will never again remember their sins. That's Hebrews 8:12. So we see, your God, he not only forgives, but he forgets. You know, we have been freed from our prison of sin. You know, some believers will confess a sin, but they'll keep bringing it back to God. I mean, like he doesn't have y'all a good enough memory. We need to remind him. Point of doctrine. You know, if we feel guilty about a sin that we've already confessed to God, you know, that guilt is not from God. You know, it's from the devil. You see, you'll say that he's the one who wants us to feel bad, uptight, and guilty. It's an interesting thing, you know, how the devil works. You see, before we commit a sin, you'll say he minimizes it. You know, he'll convince us, oh, that's no big deal. I mean, you've gotten away with that 100 times. But after we commit the sin, well, he maximizes it. You know, he'll say, oh, that's a big one there. Oh, that's too many there. Oh, God could never forgive you. You know, that's not true. You know, let me ask us a question. You know, when we pay a bill, do we still worry about it? No, we don't. You know, the moment we pay, but we stop sweating. Why? Well, see, Jesus on the cross, he said to us, he said, it is finished. I paid for your sins. You know, if we put faith in Christ, I mean, why you all punish us when he's already punished Christ? You know, Jesus was voluntarily nailed to the cross. So we can stop nailing ourselves for that sin. You know, let God remove your guilt. And number two, let God relieve my grief and pain. You're not all the things in life that damages us are things, you're, that we bring upon ourselves. Sometimes, you're, we're in pain because of the things that are done to us or happen to us that can bring you all some tremendous hurt. However, the world, y'all, they offer some solutions for that too. You're, the world will tell you, y'all, there's resignation. In other words, y'all, we deserve, y'all, a giant pity party and then just give up. Then there's also, y'all, isolation. In other words, y'all, we withdraw into a shell and we'll say, well, you know what? I'll never let another man or woman hurt me again because I'll never let another man or woman close to me again. Y'all, there's desperation. Y'all, there are people, y'all, who don't believe that living is any use anymore. They have no hope. All but a life of misery. But your resignation, or resignation and isolation, or even desperation, you know, they won't get rid of our grief. But there is one way that will. You know, we got to give it to God. In other words, you know, let him deal with it and work with him his way, and he'll restore us. You know, he's done it for others. You know, he'll do the same thing for us too. Yo, who better to share a lesson with us on the concept of brokenness and pain than a man after God's own heart, King David? Yo, David carried guilt over his adultery and murder, but he confessed it, and he accepted God's forgiveness. But yo, David, he still bore the consequences of his sin. And that's another very important point of doctrine. Yo, although your God does, he forgives and he forgets. But he also reminds us, y'all, he said, I chasten those that I love. So there's a reaction for all actions. Your God, he told him, he said that one of the consequences, y'all, that the baby which Bathsheba bore from their illicit union, he told him that it would not live. Of course, y'all, that caused David great pain. Y'all, when the baby was born sick, y'all, David, he got on his knees. He prayed, he fasted. He said, God, This baby hasn't done anything wrong. Lord, I'm the one who blew it. I'm the one who made the mistake. Please, Lord, save the baby. But the baby died. 2 Samuel 12:22-23, it tells us. David got up from the ground. He said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back to life? You know, we've all been hurt by circumstances, by people. I mean, all of the crying, all of the sleeping in, all of the withdrawals. You know, it's not going to change the past. You know, the first step to emotional health, healing, and restoring our souls is acceptance. I cannot change my background. I cannot change the hurts I've experienced. I cannot bring them back, play it down, or pray it up. In other words, y'all, don't exaggerate it. Dedicate it. Your pain is inevitable in this life, but misery is optional. You know, the Bible says, give it to God. You know, this type of hurt, I mean, it offer your coerce a believer to give up on church and even God. But you all know what David did after the baby died. 2 Samuel 12:20, it says, after he washed, put on lotions, changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. He went to church, y'all. You know what we often do? You know, we often do the very opposite. You know, we run from church when we're hurting. But you know, when David worshiped God, it gave him a new perspective and a strength to carry on. And number three, you know, we have to focus on the good that's left, not the bad that was lost. 2 Samuel 12:24. Then David comforted his wife and went to her and lay with her, and she birthed to a son, and they named him Solomon. You all, some of us are going through this same pain right now. But your God is not finished with our lives. You know, he's not through with us. Yes, it hurts, but it doesn't have to devastate us. You know, if we'll open our life to Christ and let him heal our hearts. I mean, just look at what he did in David's life. You know, listen, you know, if we're still alive, then you know, the rest of our life can be the best of our life. You'll let him have your heart. And number three, you'll let God replace our grudges. Y'all, in life, we often feel guilty, y'all, for what we've done to others. But we have grudges, y'all, about what others have done to us. The fact is, y'all, is that people, you know, they're going to hurt us. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. Either way, y'all, it hurts. How we handle mistreatment in this life, y'all, it determines, y'all, whether we are a bitter person or a better person. Y'all, the difference between bitter and better is the letter I. I make the choice. So choose to let your past be past. Y'all, the people who hurt us, y'all, they can't hurt us anymore. Unless, of course, we keep rehearsing it. I mean, y'all, they may be still hurting us from the grave. I mean, does that make sense? Y'all, what's the solution? Leave it to God. In other words, y'all, let God do his job. Y'all, he's the only one that has perfect judgment. Romans 12:19. Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God. He has said he will repay those who deserve it. Y'all, this is earth, not heaven. Your heaven is where God's will is always done, not here. But God, y'all, he has said, one day, y'all, he's going to right the wrongs, the crimes, the injustice, the prejudice, the racism, the sexism, the rapes, the murders, the hurts and abuse. Y'all, one day, God is going to settle the score. But in the meanwhile, y'all, the Bible, it says, don't take vengeance yourself. Leave that to God. But how do we do this? First, y'all, we just get rid of, y'all, the bitterness. We got to get that out of us. Y'all, Dr. King, he once said, Bitterness is blindness. If I allow you and your hurt to make me bitter, it blinds me to the truth of what God wants to do in my life. Ephesians 4:32. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Your Jesus wants to heal our hurting hearts. When we're on our backs and the emotional pain of guilt, grief, and grudges are overwhelming us, let us remember, that the Lord is our shepherd. He comes, he picks us up, he restores our souls, and then he says, follow me. We can restore a lot of things in this life. Cars, paintings, coins, buildings. But only God can restore soul. How do we do it? Job 11:13-16. Devote your hearts to him and stretch out your hands to him. If we put away the sin that is in our hand and allow no evil to dwell within our tent, then we will lift up our face without shame. We will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget the trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. And you will remember, the Lord is our shepherd, and he will restore our souls. So may God bless you. May God keep you, is our prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.